Well, welcome to episode 94 of the Nasty Cast, where we will now feature a bonus BS podcast. Of course, we're still brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com for all your fantasy baseball needs. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. You can find the podcast at Fantasy Amateurs. And I am joined today by a man who loves Lunch Lady Phyllis because she hoards the shit out of that pudding, Joe Osachi.
Why on take three did you all of a sudden have this funny intro?
That I just thought of it.
Okay, good. That was way better. We've done it.
I knew it. The third try was a charm.
Finally, we got the intro right. Yeah.
Thank God this isn't radio.
Exactly. Yeah. We should every time we make a mistake from now on, we're starting over.
Yep. Perfect podcast here on out.
Clearly, we do better on the third try. Anyway, we also got sitting right over there. I don't have a Stranger Things quote about you, but it's Jesse Jordan, the biggest Stranger Things fan that I know.
Strangest thing that I know.
I've been sick and tired of you guys acting like assholes all the time.
What did we do?
That you guys need, you know. Well, you drew first blood, so you need to shake with Nate.
Those are both Dustin quotes.
Okay. I thought you were just talking, and it was really weirded out by why are you getting so mad at me?
I'm taking on the Dustin role of this group.
So let's start off with that then, since it's an easy transition. Let's do that. I was on to the next thing before. The Dustin of the group, I think, is definitely Jesse.
Well, he just said he is, so I'm not going to argue with him.
Yeah, because he's full of one-liners.
He is the man.
You got more teeth than him, though.
You would need to cut out your front two teeth.
Yeah. But, well, you know, when I was younger, I had glastoral trophoblastitis or whatever the hell it was.
I can't recall.
Someone will look that up and tell me.
If you really did, that would be cool, but I guarantee you didn't.
You don't know me.
When I grew up, I was only cool because I peed my pants. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. So, transitioning on, as long as we're doing quotes, what was your guys' favorite quote from the entire series?
Well, there's only one choice, the favorite quote.
What is that, Joseph?
Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
Yes, that is correct. That is the correct answer. Right off the jump in the show, that's my two. I bust out laughing at that. Coffee and contemplation flow.
I really like that. I really like that one. It's so good. It starts off the show. It inches you right to the hopper. But I think I'm going to go with Dustin and say sometimes your total obliviousness just blows my mind.
Yeah. It's just not as funny, though.
It's classic Dustin, but...
But just because... Or, why are you keeping the curiosity door locked?
Yeah, that's the other one that I was going to give, yeah.
But I only went Dustin because you guys both went Hop.
Well, that's
But
just,
Hopper's...
Like, it's the by far the funny... Like, there was a lot of funny parts to the show, but that's just the most obvious,
Coffees
like, quote.
Coffees are for mornings and complicated. Yeah. And what's greatest about that is, like, 10 minutes before that, he's chugging a Schlitz to take his ibuprofen.
The first intro, your first impression of the show, I'm like, this dude is a rock star. Yeah. Gets up in the morning, freaking brushes his teeth, immediately lights up a cigarette and drinks a beer. Oops, sorry.
I did like him.
Oh, did you drop that bomb in there?
Yeah, my bad.
Oh, well.
Okay, well, I'll make note of that. But there's really, I've got a lot of predictions for this show. So since we're into one, we just got done talking about the Hop and about him taking mornings. And this show is going to be full of spoilers. We got to let everyone know, at this point.
If you haven't seen this, why are you listening to this?
Right, yeah. But more importantly, you've got bigger problems if you're listening to Stranger Things podcast having not seen the show yet.
That would be weird.
Get Netflix. It's worth every penny just for this show.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get into
There's other
like,
stuff on there,
why too. We like Index this files. Show. Shortly, but I want to get into my first prediction just because I've written these things just for you guys. So
were they roten or written, Jesse?
They were roten.
Okay.
Roten with a little bit of riddance.
Good riddance, I always say.
As Hopper dives deeper into the rabbit hole of the U.S. government experiments, he discovers that alien life forms do exist and that the Upside Down was a product of being able to travel across the universe at high speeds, and since most of this travel goes undetected, he decides to do something about it. He forms a secret government agency to police aliens while they are traveling to and from Earth.
This is like your spin-off show?
Well, that's what season 2 is going to be about.
I sure hope not.
So you guys know the rest of the story at that point, so... Mm.
Well, yeah, then it's your classic alien cop show.
Yeah, he's right? Alien. He's policing the. He's what he turns out to be.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my first prediction.
Okay.
Just so
wait,
guys,
is that what? Are you saying that's Men in Black?
So you're gonna sprinkle these throughout the show. Then,
I'm gonna sprinkle these throughout the show. So.
Okay, like a little paprika.
So people know, and then we'll give our real predictions at the
by
end.
By the way, can you ever even taste paprika? Like it's the most flavorless spice ever.
It kind of defeats the purpose of being a spice.
You ever
doesn't
paprika'd anything?
Not really. Never.
Like you throw that shit on some deviled eggs, you know? You're like, I can't taste the difference. I don't know. It looks red now.
Put more on there.
I guess. You know what you should do is put some cheese on that bitch.
I should have paprika'd my my chicken wings this last weekend.
Why
not? Peanut butter and jelly, spicy peanut butter and jelly hot wings.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Someday we're going to eat them during the show and then we're going to critique them.
Okay. Eating on podcasts is always a good idea.
Well, it's better than breathing into your mic.
I could eat right
now. Well, yeah, one could argue that he was trying to eat his mic.
Yeah, that's
what I was doing.
Okay. Call back to a previous episode. Anyway, so let's we polled a few people on Twitter to, you know, get some comments for this show. And this one from Stephen Porter Jr. on Twitter was, I believe, more of a troll comment.
Oh, yeah.
More of a negative comment. But I actually want to ask, yeah, we will, because it's honestly, like, his question was, why do people like this show?
Sure.
which obviously was a troll question. But it's like, why do people like this show? So what,
so
obviously we did like it, so what about it is so great?
For, well, the theme song, right off the bat,
sure.
It just sucks you in. But I like, you know, period pieces, and it was the 80s. I like stuff set in the 80s for some, I mean, it's, you know, that's when we were born. I don't know.
A lot of good things going on.
I like that about it. And, well, you know, it's more of a, I mean, it is kind of horror, I guess you could say, you know, the creature, the Demogorgon, so yeah. There's some horror aspects to it, but it's really more like suspense, so it's very suspenseful, keeps you guessing, there's a lot of mystery to it. It's one of those shows where you don't really, like, it just kind of throws you into the world, and it doesn't explain anything right away. You have to keep watching to figure it out. I think that's what I liked about it.
I think Joe's exactly right. I think the biggest,
as usual.
I think one of the biggest parts of it is the fact that it throws you into it, and then it brings up the nostalgia, like
the nostalgia.
However you want to say it.
There's
nostalgia.
A G in there somewhere. There you go.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying the G is silent when you say
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I make you guys know me. I have my own.
Sounds
language.
Sounds like a champagne.
That's how I've nostalgia. Always been.
Nostalgia.
It tastes good.
I bet it.
That's all that matters.
Australian for beer.
That's Foster's. Anyways, they throw you right into that right into the show. They don't explain anything ahead of time. They make you figure it out as you go, which is just the start of it. But, like, I grew up, I was a young kid in the 80s, you know. I was born in 83, sure. So this show takes place literally as I was being born. So all the callbacks to 83, I remember as being, you know, just a young little boy. I had an older brother who was huge in Dungeons & Dragons. And all that stuff. It's kind of missed me as my era, but I knew all about the show. Hell, it was one of my favorite things to do because he would bring his friends over and do the whole, I mean, it wouldn't be 10-hour sagas, whatever you want to say. But
Sega Genesis, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's about the only thing this show is missing, as I was going to get to, is the fact that none of these kids are playing their Ataris. Granted, the Nintendo didn't come out for a couple of years, but there had to be at least one Atari in the bunch. But anyways, just that's what, like, my brother, they used to do this, and I mean, I watched him, and one of my favorite things to do with him is he would have me play their quests before and kind of practice on it before he had
friends. I've never had any Dungeons.
So all that kind of brought me
into
that.
It seems like something that I would like, though.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't have a board. They drew their own maps, and they literally, as the people were walking, they would pencil in the map, and then the dudes that they were, like,
I don't think it's actually supposed to be a board.
Well, if you had a board, but you didn't need a board.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because you'd have to make up a story.
I don't really understand it, how that game works, to be honest with you, but it does seem very dorky.
It's role-playing, and they have there's literally a 20-side die, and, yeah, I mean, you shake a dice. It's kind of like, it's like Risk, but with a bigger number die, in a way.
But there's no board. So what is, anyway,
well, like
the only
said,
thing that I know, I'm not saying I wouldn't anyways, like it.
It actually requires imagination.
To
nah,
move
I don't
on,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah, and well, you have to have a good host, like.
We don't have that.
Yeah, like Mike was. So, anyways, but
sure.
Just to me, the whole show brings back a lot of memories of being in my early childhood. The music and everything in there, so 80s theme, the clothing, everything is perfect. Is it the greatest show of all time? Probably not.
Well,
but
no,
is it the best show that Netflix has ever made? I'd I liked it and enjoyed it way more than I ever liked Daredevil, and I thought Daredevil was entertaining.
Love Daredevil.
I just think it's it's a totally, I think Stranger Things offers such a bigger variety of audiences.
Yeah.
Would I let my 10-year-old kid watch it? Probably not, but
a little bit
I let my 13-year-old, 14-year-old watch it, you know. I don't have one.
Yeah, I was like, wait, you have a teenager you haven't told us about?
But I'm just saying, it's good, and it, I mean, it's, a, it's like I said, is it the best show ever? Probably not, but it's up there, and it's worth discussing.
Yeah, and I mean, as for why I liked it so much, I love a show that can be serious, but also injects a lot of humor, and, you know, we already talked about a lot of the one-liners that, you know, even right off the bat with Hopper being hilarious, and, I mean, they really
Hopper gonna hop.
Hopper gonna hop.
Which I'm gonna say, like, 50 times tonight. So that's
go.
Number one.
I try and keep it to 20.
But, yeah, you know that, and a lot of cliffhangers. It never really slows down for me. You know, there's always something going on.
Well, it's one of
it's
the...
It's always building towards
it's
something.
A show that you're not going to want to just watch one and then stop.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it's
really
bingeable.
A lot like Cheetos.
I don't like... They don't do cheap cliffhangers, though.
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Kinda,
yeah.
Like, you know,
Dexter.
Kind of like thrown in throughout, like... Even when you get to episode 3, which is I think that's the body, or is that episode 4?
I think
body is episode 4.
Yeah, the body is episode 4.
But anyways, but episode 3 is where they actually discover him. I'm pretty sure at the end of the lake there. Anyways, I can probably check my notes here, and maybe I should fact check. But I've always said, once you get to episode 3, there's no turning back.
Yeah, the
it's
first
not that
one,
the first couple episodes are bad. They need,
yeah,
you
chapter
need them
four, the
to
body,
keep going
chapter,
on.
Chapter 3, Holly Jolly.
Holly Jolly, but... Cup four is the
that's
body,
the one
but
where that other girl gets taken.
Barb.
Well, I don't want to.
Can't remember if those two or three.
Have this happen, but Will's body is discovered in the end of chapter 3.
Yeah.
So don't. I've got my Stranger Things down pretty good.
That for
okay.
me,
I
yeah,
believe
that
you.
Was
timeline.
That was unexpected for me. Yeah.
Well, I didn't
when
expect them to ever
found
find
the body.
Yeah, when they pulled the body out, and you're like, oh my god, they really did kill that kid. Which, you know, I still only half believed, and then obviously, following that, one of the greatest parts was when Hopper goes in there and he's like, yeah, he actually is like, am I really doing this? Okay, I guess, here we go.
And he just breathes in.
Yeah.
Well, then pulls out the cotton. Before, like, if you went to bed after episode 3, like I did the first night I watched it, because I watched 3 episodes and I went to bed, and that's all I could think about was, there's no way he's dead. Like,
yeah,
they're talking to him, they're communicating. I was like, are they really going to turn this into a ghost show? Well, I guess it is Stranger Things. I guess I'll give it a shot. I got to find out anyway. So the next morning, it was Saturday morning. Christ, I took care of my kid and got him off the plane.
I think it's
and
a show you should watch at night.
Got in to watch it.
Great to come out before Halloween, by the way. I think I might watch it a third time.
It's so good.
Around Halloween.
But that's why you watch it.
So what did you think about, a lot of these sci-fi shows... It really comes down to how good the effects are and, how they pull off the imagination that they have when they put into the show. So as far as the actual Demogorgon goes, what did you think of him as a baddie?
Well, as the beginning of it, you didn't see him all the time. You just caught a glimpse of him, and that was when it was really scary. Because you didn't see him. And then in the final episode, you get like an actual close-up of him. And then he's just kind of like your average monster. So but they only did that at the end, you know. So for the whole season, you're terrified of the thing because you barely see it. You just catch glimpses of it or when it's coming through the wall.
Which is the right way to do it.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
Like Jaws.
And it is the suspense that they build with the Demogorgon is similar to like Lost, even though... I never made it past the first season of Lost, and not because Lost is terrible. I just refused to watch Lost, knowing that, not to ruin Lost for everybody, but knowing that you're never gonna see the bad guy, like the thing that's out there, the
smoke
the mystery
monster?
Beast. Yeah, the smoke. That pissed me off.
Well, you do see it. It's just smoke.
I've always heard that you never really see it or find out. But
anyway,
so
out,
I'm still not going to watch.
It's very disappointing what it
is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like everything with Lost. But
moving on,
which I love.
The thing
too,
that they did right is that they show you very good glimpses, very small glimpses, and they show the beast and the sand. Like right away when Will is riding his bike and he runs into it the first time, that's scary as hell because you don't know if that's an alien.
Yeah, you don't know.
That
what
might
it
be
is,
a pedophile. Though. You might be Willy Wonka.
We all know you're terrified of Willy Wonka. By the way, R.I.P. Gene Wilder, R2-D2 soon.
Indeed. Yeah. I didn't even hear that, but I'll agree with you.
He was in Blazing Saddles. But
yep.
I do have a prediction for the Demogorgon.
Okay.
So for season
out
two.
With it.
So here we go. Going into my second prediction for season two. The thing that Will pukes up into the sink at the end of the show somehow ends up in Guatemala. There, the creature
that's some serious plumbing.
Okay.
There, the creature fully develops its powers, as it was the upside down air that was holding the creature back.
But that's
some Americans show up and are snooping around the creature's now home of the jungle.
So you're just turning these all
the rest here.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The Predator.
Shows. Well, yeah. But just think about, like, you know, going into a future question here about how the Demogorgon.
You keep saying Gordon.
It is Gordon. Demogorgon.
Gorgon.
Gorgon, yes. Gorgon.
Not Gordon.
The Demogorgon.
The Demon Gordon.
God damn it. What is this, a pronunciation show or a Stranger Things podcast?
I'm trying to help you.
Demogorgon. How is he has go. A split sideways mouth as same with vertical. It's,
yeah.
And then how he sticks a tongue out, it resembles the Predator's face. Just, it's obviously at a bigger scale. The Predator, if you had a...
I can't even picture Predator right now, but...
Well, the Predator has the four...
He has one... The four-turned mouth.
So. I stopped myself.
You're anyways, but there's some Predator love in... It's Predator slash Alien love.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily disappointed. A lot of shows, you know, when you finally do see the creature, you're like, "Bah, that sucks."
Yeah, I thought it was good. Suck, but yeah. You know, it was better to have it be something that you just see the glimpses of.
And they have to do that, you know. At the end, you have to see what it actually looks like.
Actually,
but they did it right in building.
Now that I really think about it, it kind of looks like, you remember those chess pieces in Star Wars that Chewie and Han were playing with?
Okay.
It's kind of looks like that one that opens up and sticks its tongue out at one point.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific pieces.
Have to look that up. I just had that flashback. I never thought of that until now. But
all right.
Anyways.
So another Twitter question from our buddy Yancey Eaton. He says, do you guys agree with the notion that Eleven was criminally marginalized with a lack of real dialogue?
I would say no. But it is, like, so there's, like... I think it made her more mysterious, because if she could talk, then she could just explain everything. Like, why are you here? Well, then she just answer it.
Yeah, she kind of had to be that way.
She needed to be silent, which otherwise really, when she would have answered all their questions, right, and then there would be no mystery to it.
Which really, it seems weird, and I think you addressed this on Twitter when you talked to him. Like, isn't it kind of weird that she only says a few words?
Well, it makes no sense.
Grown up around the other people.
Well,
she wasn't isolated and just all by herself. She talked to the...
She mostly was.
She was very, very sheltered.
But she talked to Papa.
She was locked into a room. Yeah, that's all she talked to. Who, you know,
and
she didn't really have vocabulary lessons.
But she doesn't. She's not going to understand, like, knucklehead and all this stuff, and like the
slang and everything.
She was acting like she didn't understand anything or know how to respond at all.
I don't know. I think it creates a mysterism.
That's
mysterism.
Another word.
Makes her more mysterious.
Yeah.
No, I think it makes. Like, I don't think she can't be any other way. It doesn't marginalize her and make her just a tool or unimportant. Not at all, because she's the most important figure. I think it's trying to relate more with that homage to, like, E.T. You know, and bring back some of that.
I think it's
80s
an homage.
Movies, that mysterious.
I'm just gonna pick.
Yeah. God.
God damn it.
So, all right, last one.
Well, as long as you bring that up, I mean, there is a lot of. And this ties into his next question.
Well, I got one more thing to say about marginalized.
Okay.
Barb was the only person who was critically
absolutely
marginalized.
Poor Barb.
Poor Barb.
Don't be ugly on TV; you'll end up dead.
Exactly. That's just like. Okay.
Those pants.
So
man.
Let's make the one. Well, there's some other people that died too, but let's make the one character besides Butch or whatever the hell, Butch, the baker, the cooker, the guy who owned the restaurant or the show.
Oh, yeah.
Let's make the only other character that anybody's really going to have a lot of feelings towards, ugly, a redhead, huge glasses. That chick nailed the part.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the, like, her lines, but let's make that one die. She's unimportant.
Well, marginalized. I mean, that's classic horror movie stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
You kill the unimportant people.
Yeah, this is more the homage.
And also, you usually kill the comic relief, so I was actually pretty nervous for Dustin for a while there. But he was such a good character that
I didn't think
they couldn't get rid of him.
There was no way that any of the four kids were going to die. The four kids were going to survive no matter what.
Yeah, well, Will was highly questionable.
Well, we'll still see.
I'm talking about the other, whatever. You know what I mean.
The kids were safe.
All right. So he also said that being Yancey Eaton, can you guys break down any specific homages from past movies, i.e. the E.T. bikes and then Under the Skin, he says, Goonies, etc. Under the Skin, I had to look up. I had no idea what the hell that was. And aside from some throbbing erections, it did look just like that black nothingness that Eleven goes into when she's put into the bathtub.
A lot of boners.
Yeah, it was... Well, it was... identical.
Did you see that movie prior
no,
to
the, okay. No, I watched the YouTube.
I'd never even heard of it.
And I was like, they allow this on YouTube?
Well, they. When I looked it up, it made me click like a button that said I'm 18, which obviously a 12-year-old could do. But
I would imagine they could.
But it is on YouTube if you want to look for the clips of that. And it, yeah, it looks exactly the same. So, like, I think pretty clearly they pulled from that movie.
That's well, possible. Yeah, but that movie was in the two. It's pretty recent.
2013,
so it wasn't like he was playing like an 80s type.
A pretty unpopular movie from 3 years ago.
Just, right, yeah. Which does feature Scarlett Johansson's boobies, by the way, so there is that at least.
Mm-hmm. I can't say that I saw, I didn't see Goonies, so I don't know any Goonies references. I assume it's just the kids, but it's very E.T. I mean, you know.
Very, very E.T.
Explorer, the first Stand By Me.
Stand By Me was another one, yeah. When Lucas was going all rogue and he put on that bandana, immediately I said Commando. Total Commando moment for him when he's going to like check out the...
What movie are you talking about?
Commando.
What is that? That's a movie?
That's a
movie. Okay, I haven't seen Commando.
Go watch
Commando.
Oh,
I thought
God.
You were talking
Isn't
about that being
Arnold
from
Duke?
E.T.
Arnold,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen Commando.
But yeah, as far as E.T. goes, yeah, I got that actually more in one of the first scenes than ever. You know, right sort of in the opening intro when he's going out back to the shed. You know, that looked a lot to me, you know, when he's running away from the monster.
Yeah.
To E.T. when he's going back out to his shed.
Poltergeist kind of in there, don't they talk to the like kind of the visions through the TV, but this way we get visions through the electricity.
Yeah,
I never saw Poltergeist.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one, but yeah, that is. Yeah,
but I mean, there's kind of a theme there, and I mean, there's just so many out there. If you Google it, it's
there is, and it's very intentional.
But there's some of them that are like, well, who knows if that's what they're really trying to do or not, but. It's very 80s movie themed wise, but the kids, like some of those 80s movies, you go back and watch them, they're hard to watch because the 80s acting, like the 80s kids acting.
Well, Goonies, I assume, would be that way because I've seen like parts of Goonies and I just think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I love Goonies.
But I didn't watch it when I was little.
Yeah, I was never a huge
truffle
Goonies
shuffle.
Guy.
Do the truffle shuffle.
See, I don't get any of these jokes because I've never seen the Goonies.
Jesse just exposed his belly and shook it. Feverishly.
I can't believe you guys never watched Goonies.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't grow up with it. I've
shame
seen most
on
of it, but
you. Shame. Shame.
Oh, he's ringing the shame bell on us.
Shame.
Joe doesn't know what that means.
I really don't care. Or get that. But yeah, I mean, if you didn't watch that movie when you were a little kid, you're gonna be like me and say this is dumb, because it is dumb.
Speaking of dumb things, how pissed were you guys to see Yancey back with Steve at the end?
You mean Nancy?
Nancy. What did I say?
Did Yancey?
Yancey.
Freudian slip.
Yancey, God, get off Steve.
I'd say that Yancey and Steve make a cute couple. But
yeah, absolutely.
They're always on Twitter together. I actually, like, I watched it with my wife, so this is a girl.
My wife.
Sorry. My wife. Girl's perspective, she was not mad at all, which I thought I would be like, what do you think, you know, Steve, and I was kind of like, what, Steve is back, and she's like, no, he redeemed himself.
I was going to say, it's the whole redemption factor of the fact that he shows up back at the door, and then he runs away, but then he comes back in and does the final saving, because if it wasn't for Steve, then both Jonathan and Nancy.
Yeah, I thought, I was... I mean, I guess it would have been obvious for her to end up with him, so it kind of makes, you know, it's probably better for her to
be with
Steve.
I kind of like it, you know, and I even...
I love that sweater he's wearing. God, that's ridiculous. The big reindeer or whatever it is. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I wasn't too upset. I was actually pretty surprised that they went that way, but when I thought about it, I'm like... That was, you know, it was a great character arc for him to start off
I
as a total
like Steve.
Asshole.
Yeah,
I like
him.
And then he realized,
I don't like Steve.
I don't want to be a douchebag. I actually like this chick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
He's funny.
I'm going to ditch these a-hole friends and.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's an idiot.
He was smooth, man. I like him.
You're
shotgunning
idiot,
beers when his
What's
parents
his
are gone
last
on
name?
Tuesday.
Steven Johnson.
I don't
remember his last name. McKenzie?
Nope.
You're an idiot.
I don't remember.
No, she calls him an idiot. Like,
well, yeah.
That's what it. He knows that means he's getting laid. Whenever she says you're an idiot, that's like he's in. Then that's what she says.
Yeah, we're good to go.
I don't know how they do that. That was graphic. Jesse just thrust the air so hard.
What are the bully people, the freckled faced dude and the chick? They're like, oh, Steve.
His friends or whatever.
I didn't like them people at all.
Well, no, because they're a-holes. They're the typical high school a-hole friends, and he ditched them, and he turned into, like you said, the hero. So, yeah, I didn't hate that at all.
Guess we'll see what happens in the future with them, too.
Yeah.
I see wedding bells.
Whoa, love triangle.
Whoa.
I don't know. Why are you turning this so porny?
My season that two prediction is going to open up with a three-way.
I wanted to make it porny. I would have went with Bow Chicka Wow Wow.
Okay, that would have been better, I think. That's a sound effect.
Woo, woo, like Twilight Zone-y.
Huge
who
twist.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Season two opening scene. Jonathan and
it's just a straight
Steve
up
and Nancy just going at it. And then the Demogorgon is in the corner just jacking it.
So, next up.
So, okay, well, speaking of character
arcs. It's out there,
arcs,
but it might happen.
You never know.
Netflix, they'll do some crazy stuff. So, speaking of character arcs, I think my favorite one from the season would have been Steve. So, what about you guys? What was your character arc that was your favorite? I think I know Jesse's.
God. That
I assume that Hop's Gonna Hop is going to win it for Jesse.
Yeah.
Well, that seems fair.
Do you want me to go first?
I don't. Yeah, sure.
Or you're gonna steal Hopper.
No, I would. I would. You can take him.
I'm gonna say Hopper's gonna hop. You know, like you guys said, coming out right away, being the drunk guy, taking the ibuprofen. You know, you get into a little of his backstory with why he is the way he is with his having the young child pass away. You don't really see much of that till the last episode, and you still don't know anything because she looks freaked out as shit when she's starting to unbreathe, but then you just unbreathe. When her breathing is out of control.
I hate it when I unbreathe.
Every once in a while I start to unbreathe.
It's kind of like breathing in the upside down air. You barely get to see God dang it, mate. That's what the worst part, the worst time for a phone call to someone someone was trying to call me and I was ignoring it, so sorry podcast world, there's nothing I could do about that. Anyway, so Hopper could have hop, he had the kid. We don't really know what's happening. You assume the daughter died from cancer or something like that, but you don't really know. That's kind of why he turns into the alcoholic. He's sleeping with anything and everything that'll sleep back with him. He never calls the chick back.
The librarian.
He's just the a-hole. But
he
gets so focused on finding this kid that's all he wants to do is find the kid. And,
you could tell that he takes it personally.
Yeah, and it's great. It's just so great to see Hop. He actually takes the badge off and just turns into a hero.
Start socking guys in the face.
He definitely is going rogue because when he cuts into the body, if it's a real body, then he's fired.
Yeah. Oh, not only fired, like you're going
in jail.
I don't know what law that is. Necrophilia.
One of the reasons why he didn't cut into the body was that normally with an autopsy, you have the chest, the cut.
There's
and
no
since
cut
he
at
didn't
all, yeah.
see that, that's what makes him cut.
Yeah.
But even still, he's not allowed to do that.
No. I get that. But
still, if it's a... If he, it's like, oh, this is just a regular kid. Shit.
Yeah.
Whoops. What do you do then? Then you're going on the run from the
wall. Hopper gonna hop. Hop gonna punch you in the face, and you're gonna fall over.
Yeah, I mean...
So Hopper is by far my favorite character.
He's pretty much invincible. Yeah. He can go in, 50 guys with guns around him, and yet he somehow gets out of it twice. But anyway,
he talks out of it, his way out of it.
Well,
this is smooth negotiating at the end.
He's a smooth operator.
You're gonna let me go, but I'm gonna show you. But he's the one who tells on the kids.
Tells on the kids?
Well, he tells where Al's location's at.
Yeah,
he gives up Al.
Well, yeah.
And now why? Why do you think he's?
He's got
delivering
to
those
out.
Egos at the one of the last clips of the show is because he feels responsible for Al being gone now. He gives up the kids to save him and Joyce's from the government. That's why the government people know where the
kids
he's
are.
Well,
he's kind of sells his soul to the devil to work with these horrible people at the end.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I will pick 11, and I wouldn't like. I just liked her the best, I think, actually, because at the beginning when she was on, I thought that she was like she was the bad guy. Like, you know, she was going to kill she's going to kill people with her mind. Or you don't really know what the deal is with her when she first shows up. She's at the diner. She won't talk to the guy. He gets shot, which the moment when he gets shot was the moment that I was like, whoa, you know, because the lady comes in, claims to be from social services, and she shoots the guy. I'm like, holy shit, I didn't expect, you know, that was the first shocking moment of the series.
It escalated quickly.
And then you don't know how she gets out of there. There's just two dead guys on the floor. But, you know, so when she's first with Mike and the other kids, like, you know, you're kind of half like, well, they shouldn't be associated. She's going to kill them, or she's going to do, you know. I didn't trust her right away. I thought she was actually going to be a bad guy. And then it turns out she's loyal to them, and she's actually like, she would kill for them because, you know, they're the only people that have ever been nice to her. Which one of the quotes that I was going to say, which I just don't think I actually gave a quote, but was when Dustin yelled that she's our friend and she's crazy.
Yep.
That was the only good quote that I got
from Dustin. Good one. Again, Dustin. Yeah. He got all the best lines for sure.
He's also the Lando.
Yeah.
When that was another good quote. I like that when
in the bus.
Nancy was trying to get Mike to talk over the radio, and he's like, Lando Calrissian! Lando! Lando! They're trying, you know.
Yeah.
The traitor. You know. I like that one, too.
So, at the finale, we
saw...
You
didn't pick, then.
Yeah,
your
I did.
Character.
I said Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Right,
okay.
I started off. So... At the finale, you know, everything is kind of wrapped up and all is good and right in the world except for poor Eleven seems to have vaporized. But then all of a sudden we see Will go to the bathroom, not feeling so well, and he hacks up this giant slug or some shit. So what the hell was that? Like, are those things going to infect others and create other demogorgons? And, you know, what came from those eggs as well that we saw in the Upside Down?
I think we'll find out what truly was happening with Barb in season 2. You know, 'cause I mean, they
so Barb is like a main character of season 2. I didn't
know.
Well,
I don't think Barb's coming back per se, but I think whatever they did to Barb, they obviously were growing something. There's maybe that robot theory where they're turning the humans into slaves or batteries or something. But they're obviously like when they you save Will, they pull the thing out of his mouth.
They pull the
they're
thing
doing
the way
something
in there.
To the bodies. They're hosting something,
whether
they're eggs or whatever. So whatever happened to Barb is obviously going to cause more of these things to be
so
around.
So maybe he just had one egg inside of his stomach, and then he puked up the little baby Demogorgon.
Yeah, well, I guess whatever. Well, I think the one Demogorgon obviously ends up in Guatemala.
Yeah, clearly.
So
yes.
That'll be a spinoff show, you know, in the future.
But so what the hell were the eggs? Like if they reach those tentacles in you and they you know put
them.
The yeah, yeah, if they plant those little slugs in you, what's the point of the eggs?
What if the eggs are babies?
I thought that the thing that he puked up was a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's
well no, I meant like actual human babies. What if 11 is a Demogorgon?
No, we know where she came from. She had a mom that's crazy.
Well, yeah, but she the mom supposedly, you know, not aborted, but
yeah,
but,
didn't even. She
didn't
give
couldn't
birth
make it to
it.
The third trimester. Yeah. So I mean, maybe that's not true. True
or did
mom.
The government cover it all up, and she really just had the baby normally?
Could
now
have been.
They,
My
they
first
erased
thought,
her brain.
That could happen, but
yeah,
but maybe
I mean,
they sent the mom when they were actually giving her LSD.
See,
they
I
were
didn't
actually
trust...
sending her to the Upside Down.
I didn't try. I don't think that they knew anything about the Upside Down. They stumbled upon the Upside Down.
That's true too. Yeah.
They were trying to spy on the Russians, and then it was just a total accident. And then they're like, "Well, let's see what this is."
Well, what's
and then it
why
was,
is 11's name 11?
Because there was 10 of there was 10 previous to her. That's obvious.
Obvious.
Well, I figured that, but
unless they started at 11, but that just seems silly.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and.
What about this, though? When that one guy, they send that one guy in there and he dies immediately, like with the pulley system or whatever. I was thinking he had to be one of the previous ones or something. Because he kind of looked at the guy weird, like he was fatherly to him.
But think so? Well, I guess I didn't glean anything from that.
That's just what I thought at the time, but then again...
Yeah, that's true, right before he goes in.
Yeah.
He goes back and then...
I just
Dr. Brenner gives him kind of a like an approving nod. Yeah. Then right away he was kind of scared, and then he just looked forward and went.
For some reason,
I think anybody would be scared to go into this weird.
Oh, yeah,
hole,
but there like, was kind of a fatherly son, you know, like
just the,
Papa,
I just got
like
that
thing,
vibe yeah, that true. He was like
maybe one, 11 is just finally the first one that actually had
perfectly
powers.
Yeah. Like, they've been trying it on people for years, and she's the one that it actually worked with. I don't know.
That could be it.
Right, yeah. She was clearly the most powerful, you know, because this has never happened
before. I was just throwing some really outrageous ideas out there. I don't believe that Eleven's actually came from one of those eggs. I was just throwing some thoughts out there.
Well, I've got some interesting thoughts as far as bold predictions and whatnot. And speaking of that portal, one thing that I think that we're going to see, if we're looking at looking forward to season two, looking at predictions and whatnot, that portal to the upside down or the alternate dimension, it seems like it keeps growing. You know, it starts off with just a little hole, basically, and next thing you know, half that facility is taken
over.
Pretty
big.
And, yeah, weird vines and spores and whatever.
It also is odd that it could make that one tree where it could get out of the tree, like so
right.
It can make other little.
All of a sudden, the woods is just another portal.
Once Eleven was out there and talked to the Russian and then found it, she kind of opened up a main portal, and then once it knew how to get, like once a portal was open, it knew about this other dimension, and it could just
he can create the other portals.
Well, because it had power. Because even at the beginning, the very first one that captures Will has telekinesis powers because it opens up the door. And then he goes into the shed and is pointing the gun at the door, but it actually turns around and comes through
back.
The wall. Which I know we learn later on that it knows how to come from the upside down into the real life, but it also, based on that scene, it could come just straight up, you know, through the wall.
Or I was thinking maybe there was a portal in that shed, but that's probably not the case. But that tree portal really weird. And that was probably.
But then it closed.
Yeah, the tree one
really
did.
Weird.
So maybe there was a shed one and that closed. But I thought that when she goes in there is probably the scariest part of the whole thing for me when she like crawls in there. And like, what person?
Why are you doing that?
What 16 year old girl would be like, well, I can't find him, but I'm going in this portal.
Let's go to this mucusy circle membrane tree
that goes in
an alternate dimension.
Oh my God.
And not even like, she drops her gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that was.
Let me crawl into this weird looking vagina thing in this tree and see what's in there. Like, I would have ran away screaming. But
out of the way, Hyman. I'm coming in. So, but yeah, I think the part of season two, we're going to see that, you know, when Mr. Clark, I think was his name, right? The professor, the teacher, whatever.
The teacher? The guy that knew everything?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember his name.
Science teacher? The curiosity door.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was Mr. Clark. But, you know, when he was doing his whole high wire act with the flea and the acrobat, which was like one of my favorite parts of the whole – that was probably my favorite episode of the whole series. But when he talks about if there is this powerful portal to an alternate dimension that it could swallow us whole is what he says. So I think a big part of season two is going to be trying to figure out how to shut this freaking portal.
Close it?
Yeah, because it is clearly growing and like it's going to consume everything.
And to me, I guess when I first watched it, I just assumed that that portal closed when Al
killed the
Demogorgon.
Right, but it didn't. Yeah, it didn't
back,
that
but it could have because the very next scene is where they're saving Will. And then after he wakes up, then
they have to
the
come out
down.
The portal.
Yep. So yeah, so I guess I didn't realize that until a
second walkthrough
of the show. So I mean that is a very good point. I do have one more like just off the wall prediction that I need to throw in here.
Okay, you do
before
that
before I get
I've
into
got
my real predictions.
Okay,
because this one's kind of fun. Elle grows up. And in season two, they cover her high school years. She's an unpopular girl, mostly because her now adopted parents shelter her. Then one day, she gets invited to the prom, and even gets voted prom queen.
Oh, how sweet.
This was a ploy, as the students that bully her.
Oh, no!
Oh, good heavens.
Dump a bucket of pig's blood on
her.
Oh,
no!
She's
the blood.
Being crowned
prom
queen.
Oh, the humanity.
I feel like I've seen that before. And we know the rest of the story.
And you know the rest
okay.
at that point.
I could see that happening.
Yeah. Easily.
So that, I mean, there's very three very good predictions that they could just roll right into for season two. I mean, they were all somewhat hit storylines of their own at some point. So,
well, I mean, if you could, I don't necessarily know that I've seen any of those other or what you're referencing there, but you know, you might be getting a hint.
Maybe
at
on something.
You might.
Yeah, I mean,
I only really had one real prediction for what I think. I don't even know if I think it'll happen, but here's what I want to happen in season two. So they go on into the future, and you know, whatever happens is kind of anybody's guess. But because it's like, we're, you know, the whole point of season one is looking for Will, and now he's back, so now you need to come up with a whole new storyline. And in theory, Eleven is vanished to the wherever, you know, we don't know where she's at, so I don't know how she's a main character anymore, other than, and like I said, she's one of my favorite parts, other than we go back to the past and we really see
go back in time.
I didn't really do it the Back to the Future way, but we see, like, what we really get to find out, how did she get there, and we get the origins of where, how she
got there.
Yes.
There better be.
You're going to do a far, you're
that's
talking
what I want.
Fargo style.
You go like, back.
Like, whereas you switch up the main
characters.
You're
going from the main thing to
the past. You're not just going to go in chronological.
Well, they did
you're
it gonna, anyway. You saw the flashbacks, but this time, I think the
they
more,
continue on,
more so. Of the flashbacks, and you find out this weird doctor, how he got her, and how he turned her into everything.
That's where... This gets back to like why you should watch this show, because like I said, it's not the greatest show of all time, but it could be a standalone one of the greatest miniseries of all time. It could be in the conversation.
Well,
with Fargo
it could be done right now, and you know, it would be great. Like they don't have to have.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but then does it make it the greatest show? I mean, to me, the greatest show to me almost like TV show. It has to be TV series.
You know, and you
like
have
right
to
now,
have like
at eight
five,
episodes, you're just talking about miniseries.
It's not enough.
You know, so it's not enough to be considered like a top five of all time. But if you do it as a standalone season,
By
it's
the
one
way,
of the greatest seasons I've ever watched.
On one of the last scenes of the whole series, I loved how they sort of took a step back and it was kind of introspective in the dialogue that they wrote, where they said, you know, this campaign lasted 10 hours. Isn't that enough? You know, and they're kind of talking about themselves because it's only eight episodes. You know, 8 hours, is that enough?
Yeah, I guess not.
No,
always want more.
Well, if nobody watched it, I think it would have been enough, and they wouldn't have done another one.
Yeah. What's funny here before that is like I thought the funny part about episode one was that they're like just another whatever half hour, and then mom says no, it's time to go, and well, how are we supposed to know it was going to last 10 hours?
Yep.
Like, you know, that's. It kind of brings it back upon itself, but at the same time makes almost its own joke on how short this whole season was.
It's fun going back and watching a second time too, because like, you know, what that opening scene that you were talking about, when they're all leaving on their bikes from the garage, the lights are flickering.
Yeah,
you know? And you don't realize that
the first time. Yeah, the first time you're like, oh, whatever.
So he was already there. We're watching him casing the joint.
Something. Yeah, it was chasing him at that point.
Which so that's awesome.
My first prediction, and I kind of went character-wise rather than like overall arc-y, but just kind of just breaking down a few different of my favorites. And my number one was Will starts to change, and it's not going to be. I mean, I don't know whether it's mentally or physically. It's Will's going to start changing because of the stuff that's going on inside of him.
Yeah.
So maybe he develops some powers, and then his friends and stuff, whether they're good or bad. They have to learn to deal with it, and that's how they, you know, Mike and Luke and Dustin get involved with Will, you know, having these powers. Kind of
I
like
do want to know, like,
so that's one thing is because of the being in the Upside Down for almost a week. I mean, he's got to change somehow, whether it's good or bad.
I think it's going to be bad.
I think it's going to be more bad. Yeah. He might even be the bad guy in the next one. Kind of like,
yeah, or he's doomed, or they're going to have to. Exercise
he's
his
possessed,
devil or that or whatever to, you know
the
to save they're gonna have to save him again.
I highly doubt him puking up one little alien life form is gonna be the end.
It's not gonna be the end. No. Well, I don't have any predictions, but I do have this one theory, this fan theory that I came upon. I wish I could claim it because it's amazing, but there's this fan theory out there that when I read it pretty much blew my mind, and that is that the Demogorgon is 11.
Okay, explain.
If you think about it, the monster.
Kinda heard this one.
The monster. What's that?
I've kind of heard it, but
okay.
I haven't seen it all.
When 11 is in like her own mind, whatever that is, the black place.
Uh huh.
That's when she sees the Demogorgon for the first time. So she basically creates it. So
what the theory says is that it's basically an offshoot of her own personality, that she created it out of all the anger and everything that she had from, you know, being a science experiment, essentially.
Okay.
And so, you know, the Demogorgon itself represents, you know, it's got two heads, two personalities, that kind of thing. So this is her branching off. And then it, you know, it creates the portal like that, like right away as soon as she comes across it. And so that would be her creating.
So she essentially created the upside down.
She created the upside down. And she literally says, I am the monster.
She does say that.
I was thinking it was I am the bad, but I am the monster, I think, is you're right.
She does literally
but
say
does
that.
But does she say, I let it in? But that she, I mean, she could still be talking about letting it in herself.
Because she created it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and it's so fun. And as not to go from there, but going back to your story arc about her, watching her give the you can't F with my friends look at the, like, right before she goes in and takes care of business. Like, that's like those, that Elsa thing bullies that we talked about to call back to our Elsa winning the Disney Madness Tournament. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, accepting her powers and believing in herself. Like, she has that right then. She's like, no. I'm as weak as I've ever been, but no, you're not touching these guys. And just throws that thing up against the wall. And that thing has powers too, as we said.
Oh, in this theory,
you know, that thing's supposed to have these telekinesis powers too, but hers are so more overpowering that she just literally throws it and then keeps it up there on the chalkboard and then walks up to it and then
explodes.
Yeah, it's just so
which
she,
is never really
that,
fully explained no, how she can, so like, how they both explode at the
yeah,
same time.
She's the only one that she can get rid of it. And then, yeah, it even mirrors her hand, like, when her movements, you know, yeah, basically, like, they're the same person, potentially. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then also, another little tidbit that I never would have figured out on my own, had I not read this online, but the scene where Mike is given a copy of X-Men number 134, if you remember that very specific moment.
I read this one.
Yeah, it famously includes Jean Grey's struggle with her dual personas, Phoenix and Dark Phoenix. Well, that, Jean Grey, like 11, has telekinetic powers.
Isn't that the one that they talk about when they're driving?
Yep.
Like they're like, I'll bet
got your
you
X-Men.
He bets him that for the race.
So I guess on a very deep level, that could easily be it. But if that's the case, then they should just end it. It's one of those things that, like, they made the perfect ending already.
Yeah.
Well, then, but then, what? Where is she though? That I don't. Why is he giving her waffles in a box?
Well, that's where my next prediction.
That was the very first question I had for Jesse as soon as I finished watching, because I knew he had finished it and you hadn't started it.
I went into like Hopper's trying to figure out how, because, like I said, Hopper, as I talked about earlier, Hopper gives up those kids and basically gives up 11
to save himself and to
guarantee their safety
and to get
even
Will.
Even though, like, he doesn't know, yeah, but do you remember, like, from the moment that Hopper starts chasing after Will? If you remember right, he's actually chasing after 11, because he finds out that he's not, like, this. You mean this whole time that I've been chasing after Will, I've been actually chasing after this girl or whatever. At some point, I think it's like episode six. But anyways, so like I said, he gives in episode 8. He basically gives up, sells his soul to the devil, to gives up the kids to save them, and then they go off and save
Will.
Well,
you don't really know what the deal he made when he gets in the car at the end.
But this is what I say. Well, the rest of them are dead anyway, so he's going to be that, and that's why I kind of made up the whole Men in Black thing. But anyway, so I think that Hopper is going to work to try to find a way to save Al, and this is all these predictions, like the one I just said about Will starting to change, these are all going to happen together in season 2. And he's going to learn the truth about what actually happened in 1 through 10. And then he's also going to find out that his daughter is somehow connected to this, which is going to be a weird tie-in.
Well, I guess, like you said, they didn't really explain it, what actually happened to her.
But if you look at her scene, and this is kind of one of those fan theories too, but if you look at the scene of the daughter, like, when she unbreathes, like I said earlier, when she can't breathe,
okay,
she looks like she's scared. Like, she looks like she's freaking out, which could just be like the greatest acting job from a 2-year-old kid that I've ever seen, or, you know, scared that she can't breathe, or it could be like maybe that's the way they wanted to make it seem like she could see more than what was actually going on.
I mean, that would have been a great twist.
Her eyes are looking between her eyes aren't looking at her mom and then her dad and then freaking out. Her eyes are going between them. Like, they're both conveniently on both sides like this, and her eyes are just freaking out. So, just something to just put in there. Obviously, it's 100%. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah, that's just one. And then my third prediction, just I'm just gonna throw it out there, just because it's boring, is that Nancy and Steve continue their romantic relationship, and the awkward friend thing going with Jonathan. Nancy continues that awkward, like, it was too awkward for Jonathan and Nancy to hook up, and that's where he's getting into that whole back. Yeah. Not to make this bring this back into the porno we're done.
He needs to find the portal out of the friend zone into the porno zone.
Jonathan's definitely in.
He had his chance.
Yeah, yeah.
When he slept
in the room, right? Because even Nancy's. One of my favorite little comments is when Nancy and Mike. They agreed, no more secrets.
Yeah, and then
Nancy.
No more secrets or lies or whatever.
He's like,
and then they immediately
like
lie to each other.
No, not like that. And then, well, do you like 11? No, gross.
Of course
not,
yeah.
That's one of my favorite there. And then a really, really good scene, just since we're on scenes, is what did you guys think about Winona Ryder right away? I hated her.
At the beginning?
And then I liked her towards the end. But her scene when she tells Dr. Brenner off, it's like a 2-minute scene. But it's so good at the opening.
Oh, when she's in the interview room with him?
Yeah.
My favorite part with her was just like, well, at first, yeah, like you said, she's kind of annoying. But I don't remember what episode it was when she goes nuts and she starts hanging the lights and writing the stuff on the walls.
Just ring it up.
And then I liked her. Yeah. When she's totally just like
a pack of camels.
If anybody, yeah. Oh, that was funny. But if anybody were to walk into the house from that point on, you got Christmas lights all over for no reason.
Well, they did.
The
like when Nancy
wall.
Comes in, like towards the end of the series, she looks around and goes, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. But she's already seen all the crazy stuff that happened, though.
Right,
too,
yeah.
She's been in the tree hole vagina thing.
And, I didn't remember the first time I watched it, but when the little daughter, Mike's little sister, and
yeah,
over there with the. Pot roast,
the mom, yeah,
the casserole,
yep.
And the daughter runs off. I remember the light part, but I forgot about how the monster started coming through, and then they show up, and then it quit. So that was really weird. I don't get why it would have stopped.
What scared
it? Because later on, it didn't give two shits.
It wasn't hungry at that time.
Well, there was no blood.
There was no blood. Yeah,
but
so I don't know why.
It was really weird. So it's almost like. You know, with Barb, there was blood. With Will, we don't see any blood, do we?
We don't see any, but, you know,
I guess
like they
falls
said
off
he.
The bike.
But they said he was already.
Maybe they chose Will.
No, because they were. He sees him before he falls off the bike.
Yeah, just well,
he falls
the
off the bike
whatever.
Because he scared him in the middle of the road.
That's true.
I mean, they
so
just.
He was just out
he was just out because he just basically became.
They also, like, not
Demogorgon
to.
Was just hanging out.
To shoot a hole in the hole, the Demogorgon is 11 thing is they talk about it like it's an animal and it hunts too, not like it's a person just like, oh well, it hunts and it does.
That's
this
true,
and that.
But I mean, she could have just created it as a monster.
Well, you're saying like she has the power to basically create things that she can't control.
Yeah that's true. I mean, yeah, she couldn't necessarily control it, but maybe she created it.
So basically her power is almost unlimited. It's way well, more
we saw
way,
it. She's got some pretty serious power.
Yeah, way more than she ever knows.
Yeah,
you know, and I also like the there's a callback. I don't know. There's some type of 80s horror movie with the blood on the nose. I can't remember which one it is, but I do like the fact that her nose bleeds every time she does stuff. I just think that's kind of
the last one.
But at first, right away, I was like, so like I thought it was gonna end up killing her, like.
Yeah.
Like that's like my first initial like
because
season one end of game thing was that she was gonna save everybody
but die.
Somehow and then like you know kill her basically
yeah.
her body
yeah.
would be there after she was done.
She'd be toast.
I mean she still self sacrifices but in a totally different way.
Yeah, she and just like, disappears presumably to the upside down and she's getting Eggo waffles from Hop through a box.
But then how is she, is she in there? Are there aliens in there trying
well,
to kill her?
Obviously there's still a small portal where that box is. Or somewhere around there.
Or is she just living in the woods like an animal?
Maybe
just the regular woods.
Maybe there's a vagina hole in the box.
We'll never know.
Well, hopefully we do. In season 2 of Stranger Things, and then we'll be back to talk about that then. It can't come soon enough as far as I'm concerned, but I think we've done our due diligence in this one. So
we need to get Joe to watch Game of Thrones season 6. Yes. And happen. Then we'll do a show like this every episode.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'll do a recap episode. Well, maybe Jesse, maybe you can.
You guys can handle that on your own, yeah. I don't think I'm going to watch Game of Thrones.
We can do one with Bubba and Catfish.
Right. Those guys are awesome. Go check out the Joffrey podcast, all you Game of Thrones fans. Good stuff. All right. So until next time, keep the curiosity door unlocked.